Welcome to the Full Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 12:16 p.m. and that is on January 16th. And today is Martin Luther King Day, so the US markets are closed, although the futures markets are open and they are down very marginally. But today was a day where we saw the majority of news headlines were really centering on the pound. And the pound was very briefly below $1.20 today. If we look at the consistency of the decline, it has found support at round numbers for much of the last year. It found support at 140, at 130, and now at 120. It has encountered resistance when it has rallied at 150, at 130, and at 125. So it has bounced off the intraday low, but really a clear upward dynamic is going to be required to signal that there is more than short-term support in this area. And when we look at the pound versus the euro, then we're presented with a pretty similar story. And there is plenty of evidence that the pound has encountered resistance at round numbers in this chart as well. It encountered resistance at close to 140, close to 130, close to 120. It's now at 113.5. And it has fallen quite precipitously over the last 5 weeks. So now we're coming back into an area of potential support, and it was a little bit steadier off the low in the latter half of today's session, but it has a lot of work to do. It really does need to sustain a move back above the and I think realistically what it needs to do is to get back above the 200-day moving average and that 120 area to really confirm that more than temporary demand dominance has been asserted. And this is still a reasonably consistent downtrend. We have had a counter-trend rally. It has encountered resistance just about where it would have been expected to encounter resistance. And now we have a short-term oversold condition, but that is perhaps the most bullish thing that we could say. That and on top of that, of course, is that this has been a decline of almost 30 cents already. And therefore, quite a bit of bad news has been priced in. And of course, this is the big question, and it is very simple. The UK, by deciding to exit the EU, is betting that it will be the first of many. And by being the first, it is going to gain first mover advantage. That is the primary argument for leaving the EU. News headline grabbing arguments about sovereignty and control over the borders are largely side. They're not really central to the argument. What is central, of course, to the argument on the other side is that the EU will do whatever it can to ensure that the UK is the only country that leaves the EU, and most particularly the Eurozone. Because if they fail to stop the gap and to allow or to try and ensure that nobody else leaves the currency union, then they will have succeeded. If they fail, it could really open the door to the dissolution of the Eurozone and to the very real prospect that creditor nations will not get paid back all that money they invested in peripheral nations. So there is a lot to play for, and there are some very major political events, both in the UK and in Europe, that are going to come up this year. And therefore we can expect plenty of volatility, and not just for the pound, but also for the euro. The euro is now back at an area of potential resistance. It is in the region of 106, but most particularly it is right in the region of the lower side of its range. It, I think, is a little bit premature to say that we have a failed downside break, but if it can sustain a move above 106 and break that progression of lower rally highs that has really been in evidence since last April, then we would be in a much better position to say that there is a failed downside break. And of course, there has been a lot of bad news has been priced into the euro, and there has been a lot of bad news priced into the pound. And by the same token, there has been a lot of good news priced into the dollar. There is an increasing argument, certainly among the hedge fund community, that the dollar has gone up too much in the short term, and that there is the potential for a drawdown. And of course, then the big question is against what? Because obviously the euro and the pound have got some quite serious problems. The dollar index is primarily euro and a bit of yen. And the yen was a little bit firmer in here today, but of course it is unwinding a very deep oversold condition. And therefore, in the short term, maybe there is the potential that the dollar can unwind some of its overbought condition. But I think that it isn't in the primary in the primary currency pairs that the real opportunities lie. I think that what we really need to start looking at are some of the emerging market currencies, because they had a storming year in 2016. But they lost upward momentum in the latter half of the year. And now what we are beginning to see is that, yes, the dollar has rallied significantly against some of the main primary currencies, but not so much against the emerging market currencies. And here we have the dollar now rallying to break a short-term progression of lower rally highs. It has found support in the region of the lower side of what is almost a 6-month range, and there is certainly not that many people in São Paulo want to see a strong real. The Indonesian rupiah is also really is noteworthy, because here we have the dollar finding support, at least near term, in the region of the 200-day moving average, and we have gone through a significant period of time already where the rupiah was quite firm. So then, if we look at the South African rand, it's a pretty similar story. So when we look at the potential for the dollar to pull back, it is obviously most likely to pull back against the currencies that it has rallied most against. But there is then the potential that it can rally against those against which it was most weak previously. And some of these commodity-related, but most particularly oil-dependent currencies are hanging out there, I think, for the potential that they could weaken if we do in fact get oil prices coming lower. And here you can see that the Canadian dollar, for example, has been trending lower for most of last year. The oil price is still hanging in there. It hasn't yet failed to sustain this breakout. It is reasonably cheap at $60 relative to where it had traded previously. But what it really needs to do is hold the low from last week. And that low alone did break the higher reaction lows that had been there since the beginning of December. So this is a more volatile range already. But it is still a range above the congestion area that had taken place between June and November. And as long as that remains the case, that's not going to put undue pressure on some of those commodity or oil-related currencies. I think just to round it out, the Australian dollar has now come back to a potential area of support, but this has been, pretty substantial dollar strength over the last couple of weeks. So that is certainly something that it does bear watching, and the New Zealand dollar is quite similar, that it has already had a reasonably large move here, and there is a well-defined progression of lower rally highs there. And now we're back at a potential area where, if it is going to find support, then it would want to be getting about it. And against that background, then, it is, I think, very worthwhile looking at the currencies that are oversold against the dollar already. So the Korean won has certainly begun to find at least near-term support in the region of 1200. The Singapore dollar likewise has bounced from a previous area of support. And I suspect that it is those currencies that were likely to have some of the best potential for rallies against the dollar. This was a big day today for the Chinese market. The A shares don't give us the full picture. They pulled back rather sharply in the afternoon, but recouped the vast majority of the decline. Where the real action was in the B shares. They sold off heavily in the afternoon trading session, and that is now confirming resistance in the region of 1200, and it is looking like we're going to go back down and test the lower side of this range that's been there for more than a year already. It really does need to hold that 1000 level to indicate that this is a demand-dominated environment beyond the short term, that this is consolidation rather than a developing type 3 top formation. So I think that there is certainly room for some volatility in China as that conviction that this is in fact a support building phase is in fact tested. And of course, the renminbi has been the currency that has probably made more headlines than just about anything else over the last month, and it has been really quite steady. Just like we've seen previously, the moves by the PBOC to chasten some of the short sellers has arrested the decline of the currency in at least the short term. That's a big psychological level, close to 7 yuan, and there is quite a wide overextension relative to the trend mean. So I think that there'll probably be more fireworks in store in other currencies rather than in the renminbi in the very short term. Now, because we have additional volatility in the European space, gold was a little bit stronger in here today, and it is trading back above and closing back above $1,200 for the first time since November. This is still a reversionary rally. It is rapidly unwinding that oversold condition relative to the trend mean, but it really does need to get back above it. It needs to, and then find a low on the next pullback above the 1100 area. If it can do that, then we'll have evidence that there is demand returning to dominance beyond the short term, and but it might be another month or two before we can really make that or draw that conclusion. And government bond yields are really quite oversold. But at the same time, what we are seeing is a cacophony of people, most particularly the big bond fund managers, the people that have benefited most from the secular bull market that's been 35 years forming, saying to buy the dip. And we have evidence of that from Jeff Gundlach saying that bonds are ridiculously oversold, to Gary Shilling saying that the bond bull market is still going and that he sees no evidence of irrational exuberance in the bond markets. I think many people would probably question that particular conclusion. What we can certainly say is that there is an overextension on the weekly chart, and that in order to confirm that the bond bull market is over, then what we would really need to see is the buy the dip strategy fail. And buy the dips is a strategy that works fantastically well in a bull market, and it will fail in a bear market. We have had a big pullback. There is still an unwinding of the overextension underway. If the total return chart encounters resistance in the region of the trend mean and breaks to a new low, then we'll have confirmation that the top is in and that we're in a new bear market and potentially a secular bear market overall. That would feed through into the argument that inflation will win out, despite the fact that technological innovation has inherently deflationary characteristics. And I think with that, I will leave you for today and wish all the best to all of you.